You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
We didn't do a sound check. Do you hear me? Okay, good. All right. Well, good morning, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to be doing something right now, and I just want to clarify real quick. The Bible is very clear that getting drunk is wrong, that is sinful, but that the drinking of alcohol, in my opinion, in my reading through the Word of God, is not in itself sinful. And I know that people have said, well, actually, you know, Jesus didn't drink wine in the Bible. It was fermented grape juice, which is also called wine. And there's some other legal gymnastics that people try to do, but clearly drunkenness is wrong. So I just want to give that a heads up. And obviously there's some people that have had issues with alcoholism, and so I would not recommend what I'm doing if you have had those issues. And if you're under 21, I would not recommend what I'm doing for you. But I wanted to talk to you about this fancy French word that is sommelier. And because it's French, it doesn't spell at all like it sounds. It's S-O-M-M-E-L-I-E-R. Sommelier, which is exactly how it sounds, right? And a sommelier is they're essentially a professional wine taster. And so I did some research on this because why not? It's a French word. You can actually go to sommelier school, and school is spelled S-C-H-O-O-L, not S-K-O-L. Wait, that's tobacco. So it's definitely not spelled like that. Tobacco, anyway, we're not going to get into that. But anyway, you can go to school for it, but a lot of times they say in order to become a good sommelier, it just takes time and experience. And there we go. And we'll have a fancy cap thing. And a sommelier's job is to taste wines, and they actually get professional at determining what kind of wines go with certain types of meals. And if you're not familiar with wine, frankly, I wasn't familiar with wine until a bunch of you people in the room online started making it yourself. So since we got a bunch of bootleggers at MC3, I started drinking some wines and discovered that I like fruity wines, not dry wines, and discovered some different things about that. But anyway, a sommelier, they actually are, again, professional wine tasters. They can tell you what wines go with what meals. And when you can actually go to a wine tasting event. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It's not really my thing, but you could go to one. And in a wine tasting event, and a sommelier looks for 5 recognized stages of wine tasting. And the easy words are see, swirl, sniff, sip, and savor. And so a sommelier would look at the wine, and they would determine, is it the right color? Is it the right style? I have a fancy Concord, Pennsylvania Clover Hill, probably cost $6, which is, you know, big money for wine, I think. They would look at it, and then they would swirl it, and kind of look, how does it reflect the light? Because, you know, when you drink it, it's important how it reflects the light inside of you. Sniff, they would sniff it. And they would check for the bouquet, which is also a French word that is B-O-Q-U-E-T, which isn't like it sounds either. I'm sure French people are like, English words don't make any sense either. But anyway, so they go for the bouquet, the smell, and now I can't talk you through this part for obvious reasons, as you'll see in a moment, but there is the sip and then the savor. And they say that it's very important that if you really want to get the true flavor of the wine, that you do not swallow it, because you want it to be a part of your mouth and to touch the taste buds and to be on your palate, but not to swallow it. So they do this at a wine tasting. No, it's a sparkling wine. So Wow, it's really early in the morning, even though I didn't drink it. Whew. Okay. Yeah, I definitely didn't swallow it. I spit it back out. So just in case I start getting sleepy, it's just because I had a long night. But that's what a wine tasting event is like. They would taste the flavor and then they would spit it out. And you know, there's rooms with people would walk around and try all these different things and spit it out. And so they have a shared bowl that you can spit it into, which is just awesome. You know, and that is the way that they can determine whether something is a good wine. So apparently a professional sommelier could right away tell some of those things, and they could tell you about the dryness, the fruitiness. They could tell you about the earthiness or the wood, like texture, that's bad. But anyway, they could tell you all the different nuances of the wine. But when they put it in, they taste it, and then they spit it back out. And in doing so, in my opinion, and I am not French, I'm not a sommelier, and again, I think a $6 bottle of wine is expensive. In my opinion, that's just a waste. It seems to me like, come on, if you're going to drink the wine for the flavor, then drink it. I guess if you're drinking it for the flavor. Anyway, that's, in my opinion, is a waste. And here's the deal, right? Let me bring this together. Sometimes, and perhaps often, we treat Jesus like a wine tasting event. Because we want to get a little bit of Jesus, maybe a sniff every once in a while, maybe swish him around, but then spit it back out. Like, we don't want him to be actually a part of us. We don't want him in us. We don't want him consuming us. And I think, you know, if you're listening, if you're in the room, if you're watching online, like, you are probably going, well, of course I want Jesus. I want part of Jesus. I want him to be in me. And we say that mentally, but our lives and the way we live is a lot more like a wine tasting event. We get a hint of him, but, you know, he's not a part of everything. He's not a part of all that we do. And years ago, I remember I made a chart. I don't have it on the screen here. But it was kind of how people look at Jesus, how followers of Jesus look at Jesus. And it was a pie chart, which means it's shaped like a circle with the pie slices. And, you know, you'd have in there, you know, 10% of your life is sports and 20% is sleeping and maybe 30% is work and another 10% is watching TV and another 15% is, I don't know, eating. And these probably aren't adding up, and that's okay. And then in that pie chart, you'd have like, oh, and then there's like 10% that's Jesus. And this idea that Jesus is a part of our life, but not who we are, not everything. And really, as a follower of Jesus, and at the passage we're going to look at this morning, like, we shouldn't be getting a taste of Jesus. Jesus shouldn't be a piece of our pie chart. Jesus should be the whole thing. And so when we're sleeping, we should be sleeping in the name of Jesus. And when we are eating, we should be all eating. Whatever we eat and drink should be done to the glory of God. And we are recreating to honor him. And so that everything that we do is tied to Jesus and not this idea of something that's as simple as a wine tasting. So, again, of course, it's January. It's a new year. Finally, right? And a lot of times we talk about New Year's resolutions. And I think, frankly, many of, at least the United States, probably the world, New Year's resolution is finishing 2020. So congratulations. You've kept your first New Year's resolution. But a lot of times we talk about what is it, you know, what does it look like to start new, to start fresh? And so, you know, months ago, just kind of thinking about that, I thought, you know, this is really, I think, important for us to do a series on what are the core things as followers of Jesus. If we're starting new, what does it look like for us to kind of say, okay, we're going to start off this year with some new things, or maybe just remind us of some things that we've already known, but really come back to it. And we've called this series Building Blocks because these are the essentials. These are the core of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And we've got 8 weeks, so we're going to be looking at 8 different things. But a fancy church word for this will be called spiritual disciplines. And these are the things that we practice as followers of Jesus. And I should be very clear from the beginning that we aren't doing these things to earn God's love. God, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. God already loves us completely, totally. But we do these things as a way to demonstrate our love for him and to grow to be more like Jesus. And so we call them disciplines. And just for the record, a discipline isn't always easy. It isn't always fun. It isn't always something we're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Discipline is something that we take the time to do intentionally. And you know, maybe you discipline yourself to exercise regularly. That's a discipline. Maybe you discipline yourself to get up when your alarm goes off. That requires some discipline. And those are things that perhaps you don't want to do, but we do them. You discipline yourself to go to work. And we do those things because we know that while at the time they may not be easy, they may not be fun, we do know that they are going to result in something that is good. And so this series, Building Blocks, is all about these foundational things, these pieces that as we do them, we are going to become more like Jesus. And so that's where we're going. And so with this idea of not Jesus being just a taste, not having him as a taste, as a part of our life, like we'll, you know, do a little of the Jesus thing when we feel like it, or we show up on Sunday and we count that, we watch online, we listen, whatever. But Jesus should be more than that. And so the first block that I want us to look at this week is to build your relationship with God. You need to spend time with him daily. Spend time with him daily. Now, when we talked about this in our creative team meeting a few months ago, I just want to be clear that today is kind of the setup, because over the next 7 weeks after today, we're going to be looking at different things that can happen during this daily time. But right today, I just want to make kind of the general statement of the importance of if we're going to grow, if we're going to build our relationship with God, we need to spend time with him daily. Like this can't be a once in a while thing. It can't be a we taste him a little bit and spit him back out. He is a part of our life, and we spend time with him daily. And so we're going to look at John chapter 15. And if you have the YouVersion app or if you have a Bible, we're going to be in John 15 for a little while here. I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to kind of come back and break it down. But John 15, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. We're in verse 1 there. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do produce, he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So this whole idea of being connected to the vine, like this, and we're going to break this down, like I said, but this isn't something like it's like every once in a while. If you know anything about plants or anything about vines or even grapevines, which is probably what he's referring to, or an olive, I think those are bushes. I don't know. But the idea is that, you know, if a branch of anything, of a tree, of a plant is going to grow, it has to be connected to the trunk. It has to be connected to the main vine. Because when it's separated, it's not. And Jesus says that he is the vine. And so we need to remain connected to him. So I want to talk about this idea of divine dependence, of what it looks like to be connected to the vine and why. I want us to understand that, like, I mean, as much as I hope that you enjoy connecting with MC3, as much as I hope that you are able to make this online thing work, I mean, Justin said, like, we spent hours yesterday just trying to decide what's the right thing to do. But in all of that, like, if your connection is just to people or just to how, I don't know, cool the screen looks, whatever, but it's not to Jesus, then we're missing something, because we need to be connecting with Jesus daily. And so constant connection leads to a few things, and I want to talk about that. And again, we're talking constant connection, not a little bit here and there, not time every once in a while, not, you know, a little swish and then maybe a spit out. I don't really want to actually have Jesus in me, but constant connection leads to a number of things. The first thing, and this is kind of the most important, The first thing is that constant connection leads to authenticity. And authenticity is one of our core values at MC3. It's this idea of we want to be real. Like, be real with the good things, with the bad things, with the things that we do well, with our failures, with our successes. Just being real. We're not trying to be fake, not trying to put on a front. And Jesus says here that when we are connected to the vine, it actually proves, it's kind of like a filter for, are we really connected to Jesus? Are we really following Jesus? Because he says in John 15, 1 and 2, and then actually he jumps over in verse 6, he says, I am the true grapevine. So Jesus is the grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. My Father, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So he says, if there is a branch that doesn't produce fruit, he cuts it off. And then a little bit later, he kind of picks up on that concept in verse 6 and says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. And so what Jesus is saying here is that this is a good chance for us to check. Are we real? Are we for real when it comes to following Jesus? Or are we just a fake? Because the grapevine analogy, the whether we're connected is the true test. Because Jesus says, look, if you're not really connected, you're not going to live, you're not going to thrive, you're worthless. You're disconnected, and those are branches that don't produce fruit, and those are just going to be withering, and they're going to be gathered to be burned. And so Jesus here, there's this idea of, what is, like, are you just going to church? Do you know someone, or your parents were followers of Jesus, so therefore you assume you are? Because Jesus sets up the standard and says, no, it's not about those outward fake things. It's not about putting on the show of looking good. It's being actually connected to the vine. He says, if you're not connected to the vine, then you're just faking it. You're not really a follower of Jesus. You can call yourself whatever name you want, but Christian isn't true. Christ follower isn't accurate. He says, if you're not connected, you're just a faker. And so for us, being connected is a great test. And again, I'm not talking about something where we're losing our salvation or anything like that at all. But just to say, okay, am I really following Jesus, or I'm just doing this because my parents told me I should once? Or am I doing this because, you know, I went to some event and it scared me so much that I didn't want to go to hell, which isn't a bad thing. But I didn't really kind of go any further than that. And so this connection, this constant connection, is just a heart check for each of us. And again, I'm not saying you need to be like, oh no, I did follow Jesus, but I made a mistake once. No, we're all sinners. We are making mistakes. But just to look and say, am I for real? Was this a real thing, or did I just invent it? Or am I just going through the motions because someone else told me to do that? And so that's the first advantage. The first thing is that constant connection leads to that authenticity. And again, this isn't meant to be a scare tactic for you or for anyone else that's listening or watching that, you know, oh no, maybe I'm not following Jesus. But more of just a check. Like, all right, Jesus says that you need to be connected. And this is, if you have no desire to be connected, then you're probably not really following Jesus. So constant connection leads to authenticity. The second thing is that constant connection leads to growth. It leads to growth. And when we're connected with God, he prunes us so we can grow. And this is what John 15, verse 2, Jesus goes on and says, he, meaning God, prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. And the Greek word here for prune, it means to cut off or to clean off. And so that's why Jesus says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. And he's talking to his followers at the time saying, I'm sharing this message and this is cleaning you up. This is part of that process. But here's what we need to understand is that pruning is done so that we will grow. Like, get that. He says, God prunes the branches that do bear fruit. So we've already gotten rid of the branches that are not real, the fake ones. They've been burned. But he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. And this is like, I actually know some things about gardening and tree trimming and caring. Like, there have been parts of our plants where they've got dead growth on them. And the plant's still alive, but those branches, because the growth is just dead there, won't grow. And so what do? You take a pruning shears or scissors or something, and you cut off that dead part of the branch, which is probably painful, I guess, you know, if the plant could talk, it'd be like, oh no, my branch, oh, you know. But you cut off that dead part, and, you know, conventional wisdom is like, oh, you cut that off, it's just going to kill it. But it actually allows that part to grow even more. And I think it's important to understand is that when we are connecting with Jesus, when we are practicing these disciplines, these building blocks over the next couple months here, it is not going to be easy all the time. And pruning is not pleasant. This idea of cleaning, it's not just something where it's like, you know, a quick dust off or a, okay, you're good. But this word pruning, cleaning, means to intensely clean. And that's not always pleasant. Sometimes it hurts. Have you ever had like something on your hands that's, you know, really, you know, staining or poisoning or anything like that? You know, you scrub and scrub, and that's a painful process, but the process is worth the result. Just yesterday, Kendra gave our dog a bath, and it is not a pleasant process for him. He does not enjoy it. But we know that cleaning process is good because it keeps him healthy. And it's the same thing for us, that as we are connected, it helps us grow. God is going to prune off, and again, it's not always easy. Pruning isn't always pleasant. But he's going to prune off those parts of us that are not growing so that we can produce more. The things in us, he's getting rid of the things in us that shouldn't be there so that we can grow. If you don't have connection to the vine, you're not going to grow. The third thing is that a constant connection leads to fruit. It leads to fruit. That as we are connected to Jesus, we are going to be doing things that honor him. We're going to be making a difference. And he goes on in verse 4 and says, remain in me. And this word remain is a really cool word. We've talked about it already. We're going to be continuing to talk about it. But the Greek word is meno. Meno. And it means to remain, to be connected, or to dwell, to live. And again, this goes back to this idea of you can't live in Jesus if he's just a wine tasting party, if it's just a moment, if it's just a single event. But Jesus says, dwell in me, remain in me, stay connected, abide, connected to me, and I will remain in you. And he says a pretty obvious thing, and I already mentioned it as well. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So Jesus says, stay connected to him, and you will be fruitful. He says, yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. And again, I don't know if you've ever, you know, grown anything, but you know, typically if you grow a flower, it's because you want to see the bloom. And if you're growing some sort of a fruit or a vegetable, it's because you want to see the peppers or the tomatoes or whatever it is. Because that's the whole point. And if it's not producing fruit, it's worthless. And Jesus is saying, remain connected to him, and we're going to produce fruit. And not only fruit, but fruit that matters. And what he says here at the very last line, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Like, we might feel like we're doing something, but if we really want to be difference makers, we have to stay connected to Jesus. And when we're not, we can't do anything of value. Just understand that. That if we have a wine-tasting Jesus that's kind of, okay, right now, for this moment, I'm going to be, you know, have Jesus in me a little bit. In those moments, maybe you will produce something of value. But as soon as we spit it out, then we're not. Even though it might feel like, oh, this is a good thing that I'm doing, or wow, aren't I an impressive person, or whatever. Jesus says, without a connection to him, we can do nothing. Like, that's a strong word. Nothing. The Greek word there for can. He says, apart from me, you can. The Greek word is dunamis. We get the word dynamite, something that has power. Jesus says, if you're not connected to me, you don't have the power to do anything. You don't have the ability to do anything. So staying connected to him means that we will be authentic. It's going to lead to authenticity. It's going to lead to growth. It's going to lead to fruit, doing something of value. And I think, I mean, on some level, we all desire to make a difference. We all desire to matter. And I think a lot of times we miss the fact that we do matter in so many ways that we don't even see. I mean, I see some parents here and their kids sitting next to them. And you're probably at home, perhaps, with your kids. And let me tell you, you matter to your kids. And the question is, what are you doing that matters? Are you staying connected to Jesus and leaving them something that matters? Or are you just doing good things because you're not really connected to the vine? You're not staying tied in to Jesus, because that's what's going to matter. And in your jobs and in your schools, I mean, there's so many ways, so many areas where we often are like, oh, well, I'm nobody, it doesn't really matter. But you do. And I mean, you do. even to your siblings, even to the people that you think don't even like you. And the question is, what are you doing that's of value? And that comes from being connected to Jesus, because apart from Him, you can do nothing. The fourth thing is that constant connection leads to obedience. And ultimately, that's what it's about. Like, we want to obey God. We want to follow Him. We want to honor Him with our lives. And that's not easy, because we have sin. We're sinners. We do sinful things. We're tainted by it. We talked about that last month, and we actually talked about the month before in our Truth, Justice, and the American Way series. Like, we are tainted by sin. And so just wanting to do better, you're going to be let down every time. If your goal is, I just want to do better. I just want to do better for Jesus. Okay, I know I messed up, but this time I'm going to do a little bit more-er so that I'm closer-er or doing more-er, gooder for Him. And it's not going to work. Because we're sinners. We can't do it on our own. Jesus already said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But in verses 7 to 10, he goes on and says, look, and we already looked at this verse in verse 6, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. They're gathered in a pile to be burned. But Jesus said in verse 7, says, but if you remain, there's that word again, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, meaning the things that you have learned, the things that you have read from the Word of God, if they remain in you, he says, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And in our crop series, we talked about this verse, about this idea of, oh, if I just ask for something in Jesus' name, I'll get it. That is not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying is, if you're connected to me, you're going to do the things that I want you to do. When you ask for things, you're not going to ask for things for your own selfish sinfulness. You're going to ask for things that God wants. And so when you ask for things that you want, it's going to be granted because you're asking for what God wants. Do you get that? When we're connected to Him, when we have this connection, then when we start asking God for things, we're not going to be asking for our own selfish things. We're going to be asking for things that honor God. And God's like, yeah, I want to give you that. Absolutely, I want to give you that. So we need to remain connected because it allows us to be obedient. He goes on and says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. Like that phrase, disciple, follower. Jesus says, when you produce fruit, you're connected to me. When you're connected to me and producing fruit, you're proving that you are followers of me. And he says, this brings great glory to my Father. He goes on and says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain, there it is again, in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Jesus says, if we want to do the right thing, if you want to focus on not just doing gooder next time, not just trying harder-er, he says, stay connected to me. And then you don't have to worry about trying harder, because as I feed you, as I grow you, as I put my nutrients into you, as I produce fruit in you, you then will be obeying me. You will desire to obey me, because on your own you can't do it. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. But with Him, we will be able to obey Him, and that will bring glory to God. And so if you're like, man, I keep messing up. I've got this sin that I keep stumbling over. I keep trying to not say that, and then I say that to them, or whatever it is. Don't try harder next time. Fall back to Jesus. And focus your energy not on, okay, this time I'm really going to think hard about doing the goodest thingest. Instead saying, put that energy into loving Jesus more and being connected to Him and investing in that. And then these other things, they're not going to be hard issues. Hard issues. They are heart issues. But it comes back to staying connected. So a constant connection leads to authenticity. It's just a quick gut check. Are we for real in this thing? It leads to growth. Like, if you want to grow, if you want to become more like Jesus, you have to stay connected to Him. It's not a once-and-done thing. It's not like not even an annual pass. That expires at the end of a year. It's not a lifetime pass kind of thing. Okay, I did that. I'm good. No, we need to stay connected to Him to grow. If you want to produce fruit, if you want to do something that matters, if you want your life to mean something, and I don't mean something by the world standards, because we talked about this in the End series. There's going to be a time we're all going to have to give account to God. And so, do you want your list to be things that matter? Like, oh, I did this cool thing. And God's like, why would I care about that? I mean, there was the old joke about the guy that was dying, and I know this isn't accurate theologically, but St. Peter at the gates, because it's always St. Peter, I don't know why, says, you know, you can bring with you any one thing that you want when you die. And so the guy loads up his coffin with gold and then dies. And, of course, the coffin and gold are in heaven because you know. And they open up the coffin, and the guy's like, it's loaded with gold. And then St. Peter, it's like, why did you come here and you brought pavement? Because the Bible does talk about the streets are paved with gold. And all I'm saying is it's a really stupid joke. I get it. But the idea is that things that we think matter in God's eyes don't matter. And things that matter to God should matter to us. And so if we are connected to Him, we are going to produce fruit that matters. And if we stay connected to Him, we don't need to try harder. We will be obedient. We will be obedient-er. Because it's through Him that we can do things that matter. It's through Him that we can honor Him. And let me just be clear about this too. Obedience isn't a matter of God, like, okay, these are my rules and you better do them because. God says, I want you to obey me because I know what's best for you. Like, obedience is what's best for me. When I obey God, it's what's best for me. When you obey God, it's what's best for you. And we think, and that's the whole point of sin, we think just like Adam did. Did God really say that? This fruit looks better than what God said. And it's us going our own way, and God's like, no, you miss out. My best is obedience. And finally, and you know, Kirk again praying, stealing notes. Kirk stole this as well, but it leads to joy. Like when we are connected to Jesus, it leads to joy. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's always going to be fun. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt sometimes. But joy is something that is deeper. Joy is kara. That's what the word means. it's this word that it's more than just a feeling like, oh, my team won, so I'm happy. Or 3 weeks ago, my team was leading the division, and this week they have to decide if Dallas. Anyway. You know, that's not joy. That's just whatever's going on. And I guess the Steelers can finally say something happy again. but joy is like, no matter the circumstances, I have something that's deeper, something that's more powerful. And that's what Jesus says in verse 11. He says, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And that word filled doesn't mean just like, okay, I've got some. It means like over and above. It means everything that you need is completely full. It's not like there's a little bit of room left over. It is full. It is overflowing. And Jesus says, stay connected to me, because as you are connected to me, it's going to produce all these other things. But ultimately, too, you're going to experience joy. And joy goes beyond our circumstances. Joy goes beyond how miserable it is to be watching through a TV with internet action. Like, that's frustrating. Joy is deeper, that says, you know what? God's got this whole thing. And I'm going to stay connected to Him. And in being connected to Jesus, I'm going to have joy in the middle of the situations, whether the ups or the downs. I can experience joy. And so all this comes back to this idea of constant connection, staying connected to Jesus. And again, the things we're going to be talking about over the next 6-7 weeks are about how does that look. But I just want us to understand how important and essential it is for us to stay connected to Jesus. Because if we're not connected, we're not going to know where that authenticity thing is thrown out the window because we're being fake. We're going through the motions. If we're not connected, we're not growing. We might think we're growing, but we're not. And let's just be honest, like we have this idea, like if we try to stay disconnected and still think that we can try to grow, like it's not actual growth. And we're not going to be producing fruit. It's certainly not fruit that matters. We're going to be saying like, oh, look at these good things that I did. And God's like, those don't matter. And if we're not connected, we're just going to be trying harder to obey. Or maybe we don't even try. Maybe we've given up. But being connected allows us to obey. And being connected to Jesus gives us joy. Like all of these things, it's so important. Jesus can't be a taste test. Jesus can't be a piece of the chart. Jesus needs to be all of it. All of it. And so the discipline that we're talking about is this idea of to build your relationship with God, you need to spend time with Him daily. And And what I'm getting, I'm going to explain this in a moment. But this is an intentional thing. This is saying, I'm choosing to connect to Jesus. I'm choosing to be connected to Him so that His chlorophyll, right? Isn't that what's in plants? His chlorophyll will infuse me. Some Holy Spirit chlorophyll, I guess you'd call it. Like this idea that we're connected, and when we are connected to Him, this is going to flow out of us. But it comes down to an intentional thing, saying, I'm going to spend time with Him daily. So I'm going to step on your toes a little bit here, maybe. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just going to encourage you and remind you of like, yeah, right. This is what it's all about as we look at this. So I just want to talk about what does it mean that it's more than a taste test? Like Jesus isn't this thing like, okay, check, we did Sunday morning, I'm good for the week. Or maybe, you know, I don't know, you open YouVersion, read the verse of the day, okay, good, you know. Maybe you heard somebody say something that somewhat seems spiritual. That was a lot of S's. But it's more than just those things. Jesus needs to be a part of us, and this connection needs to be something that's real. And so I want to answer the question, and I think I'm going to do this every week of the series, I think. But to go with how, if this is important, how do we do that? So this week, how do we spend time with Him daily? And again, if you've been following Jesus for all your life, you're going to be like, there's way more to it than what you're talking about. I get that. But I just want to come back to the very simple idea of this is something we should be doing. So the first thing is priority. If we're going to spend time with Jesus daily, it needs to be a priority. And a priority means that's something that you plan first, something that you do on purpose. And, it cut over to the next line. That's weird. So I didn't spill the wine, just the water. And we'll just wing it here since I can't even get this to work. Okay, it has to be a priority. I'm good. In Mark chapter 1, we read this about Jesus. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions then went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. And the point here isn't that it was early in the morning. I just want to be clear about that because I am not a morning person. But the point was that Jesus made this a priority. Like the very first thing, Jesus said, okay, what I'm going to do is, and this is Jesus, right? This is the Son of God. This is God in the flesh who took the time to get up and go out so he could spend time with his Father. And look at the disciples' reaction. I mean, they're like, Jesus, where have you been? We're looking for you. And Jesus is, and I should say this as parents and probably moms more than dads. I don't know if that sounds sexist or not. But sometimes the kids are like, hey, where are you? And maybe this priority says, you know what? It's going to be okay because my connection with Jesus is going to be more important just for a few minutes, not abandoning your kids all day, but just for the moment, our connection with Jesus is more important. And so Jesus himself made it a priority, even with the disciples kind of complaining, where are you? Where have you been? And he made it that priority. So he got up when it was still dark, left the house. And of course, that required some discipline and commitment. Maybe it's not a discipline and commitment for you to get up early while it's still dark. Like, I don't know the last time I've seen dark in the morning. I guess maybe this morning. I did get up early this morning. But naturally, I don't do that. But the other thing here is in Exodus chapter 23. Just leave my mess there. God is talking to the Israelites about worshiping him. And when they would worship at the tabernacle in Exodus, and then later it became the temple. And he talked about when it comes to spending time, when it comes to offering worship to God, he says, as you harvest your crops, and that's what they had. That was life, was harvest. That was life. Life was farming, agrarian. That was what they ate. That was what they lived on, what they harvested, what they sold, all tied to that. And he says, as you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. And so he was setting up a precedent here, and we talked about this in our offer series when it comes to giving, and we're going to talk about giving in a couple of weeks. But this idea is that God doesn't want our leftovers. Like right now, you know, depending on what your Christmas dinner meal was like, there's probably leftovers in your fridge. And they're probably not as appetizing as the moment you made them. And God doesn't want our leftovers. He wants our best. And so, and when it comes to staying connected to Jesus, we need to give him our best. Like, we give our best time to a lot of other things, and frankly, Jesus gets what's left over. Sometimes that's, oh, right, I need to read my Bible, and I got to go to bed here, and I'll just... And then we fall asleep. And I get it, we're tired. And like, but if we really want to stay connected, we have to make this a priority. Because chances are, none of you have forgotten to eat over the last 24 hours. Like, oh, right. No, you've made that a priority. Many of you, I mean, if you're listening to this, you're awake. You've made a priority, a commitment to get up. And so when it comes to Jesus, we need to make it a priority. And I would say, give God your best. For me, my best isn't necessarily the morning. And I'm not trying to be whatever. I'm just sharing where I am. My best isn't the morning, but I know that I can set aside the morning better than I can at night. Because my day fills up real quickly, and by the time I get to the evening, I have nothing left. I'm at the end. And so for me, the first thing that I do, my alarm goes off, is I get out my YouVersion app, and I read through my plan, and I spend some time in prayer. And when I go to my office, the first thing I do, first I have Alexa turn all of my devices, because I have these really cool smart things in my office now. Christmas presents, because I'm a geek. But anyway, then I sit down, listen to the ultimate jazz station, and pray. And that's the very first thing I do. And again, I'm not saying that to be cocky or anything, just to say it's about a priority. And for me, if I did it at the end of my work day or if I did it at the end of my day at home, like, I would not do it. I would just run out of time. But some of you, the nighttime is way better than the morning. And so maybe that's it. But you need to come up with that. What is that moment that if this is a priority in your life, when are you giving God your best? Your best, your first fruits, the best of your harvest. It has to be something that we make a priority. And do it. The second thing is personally. I need to go a little bit faster here. Personally, this is not something that happens, and this is going to sound weird, especially because one week we're talking about the importance of connecting with the body, but this isn't something that can happen for you. This is something that you have to do. And again, coming together to worship is necessary. And we're going to talk about that one week. And the idea of being with brothers and sisters in Jesus and having them talk to you and encourage you, that's necessary. Listening to someone teach is important. That's necessary. But when it really comes down to your connection with the vine, I cannot connect you to Jesus. I can't connect you to the vine. Your parents can't connect you to the vine. Your church, your online listening, none of those things can connect you to the vine. You need to do it personally. It has to be a between you and God and nothing else. And in Matthew 6, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things here. I'm going to jump through this passage in Matthew 6. But Jesus says to his disciples, he says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. So if you're doing it for other people, be like, look at you. And again, that's why I hesitate to say what I do with my time. Because I don't want people like, look at Sean. No, it's not about what we do. He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. For you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Like Jesus says, this isn't about others. This is about you and me. He says, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as hypocrites do, and blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets that call attention to their acts of charity. He says, I tell you the truth, they have already received all the reward that they're going to get. He says, but when you give to someone in need, your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He says, give your gifts in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. And then he goes on a little bit later and he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who pray, love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. He says, don't pray. So everybody's like, look at you pray. You're such a good prayer. And I know, I mean, when Kirk, when Kendra, when whoever's up here, they're not praying for you to tell them how impressive they are. That's a whole different category here. That's not what we're talking about here. But if you're like, everyone, I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to be eloquent, and you're going to be impressed with me. He's like, no, don't do that. He says, I'll tell you the truth. That's all the reward that they're going to get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Like, the whole idea is being together with him. It's between you and God. He goes on a little later and says, when you fast, don't make it look obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. They'd be like, look at me. See how fit I am. I've been fasting. Aren't I a godly person? He says, don't do that. That's not the point. He says that's the only reward they're going to get. He says, but when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. See, he says, don't get caught up in the public thing. This is a personal thing. Your connection to the vine is between you and God. And you, no one else can do it for you. And that's why I'm looking for my notes here. This isn't something that someone can do for you. You can't call what we're doing right now your time with God. I'm sorry. Like, that's not your connection to the vine. You can't hear someone else pray. That doesn't make you a prayer. Being a part of a prime group that gives and sign up for prime groups online, mccchurch.org/community. But your prime group might be a very generous prime group. And I know we've got some incredible prime groups. But just because you're in that prime group doesn't mean that you're automatically a giver. Like, the whole point is that this is between you and God. So if you want to grow, and it's more than a taste, if you want to have that connection, it is a personal thing. It's between you and Him, you and Jesus. The third thing is consistently. It has to be done consistently. And again, this is the idea of the taste thing. Like, it's not a piece. If you've made it a priority, you're going to do this regularly, but it has to be done consistently. Like, set aside the time. Make the plan. In Daniel chapter 6, this passage is all about the law that, you know, anyone that didn't bow down would have to go and go to the, not the fiery furnace, the lion's den. And it said, when Daniel learned the law had been signed, he went up and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room, as usual, see that? With his windows open towards Jerusalem. And it says, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. So here you have Daniel, who was just one example, and you can read throughout the Bible, of people that had a consistent time where they connected with God. They had a consistent thing. And so this isn't haphazard. This isn't like, well, when I get around to it, because you're not going to get around to it. And getting around to it isn't enough to stay connected. You have to make it a consistent thing, as Daniel did. It was three times a day. That was his thing. So whatever that looks like, do it consistently. And I already said, we have a bedtime. Most of you have a bedtime. You say, this is the time I need to go to bed because I have to get up at this hour in the morning. You have a time you wake up. You set an alarm, probably, to wake up at a certain time. You do that consistently. You have a time for eating. You have a time for exercise. So make time for God. Make it a thing. And so the first thing is a priority, that this is important. But this is talking about put it on your schedule. Put it on your schedule regularly. Make it something that happens. Because you can't grow if you're not connected. And you can't be connected if you do it every once in a while. It's got to be consistent. It's got to be, as I say, daily. And you grow in Him. And if you want to grow to produce fruit, obey, and experience joy, all those things that we just talked about, you must stay connected. Otherwise, you're a poser. Otherwise, you're just tasting a little bit of Jesus. And the final thing is, and I need to finish up here, is intentionally. And this is honestly probably the most important part of it. Because we can get caught up in doing the things. We can get caught up in checking off the list. Like, oh, I did that quickly. Or we can kind of read through and, Jesus, we pray for the things that are on my list here. Okay, amen. And miss that it's not about the action. The action is very important. But that's not the core. It's about our hearts. And in Philippians 3, this is what Paul says. He says, yes, everything else is worthless. Everything else is worthless. Everything. Our job, our family, church, our sports team, everything else, our own health, our own happiness, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. This is Paul. He says, for His sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. Paul says everything else doesn't matter. The most important thing is His connection to the vine, is His connection to Jesus. He says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. We already talked about that. If we're connected, we don't have to worry about trying harder and harder. He says, rather, I have become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. He says, I want to know Christ. We sang this in one of the songs. And experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. Paul says, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Him. He says, I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death. 11. So that one way or another, I will experience resurrection from the dead. Like this idea of saying, okay, is this really your heart? Is this really something that you want? Are you really intentional about this? Because the other thing is going through the motions will just bring you back to this. But it's a matter of saying, this is something where my heart, I want to know Jesus. And if you want to know Jesus, then you're going to have to set aside some time to spend with him daily. And that time doesn't have to be like, okay, I need you to block aside 3 hours. Start small. Start small. Maybe I'm just going to be intentional about 5 minutes of uninterrupted time with Jesus. And now what do we do during that time? That'll be the next 7 weeks of the series. But just the importance of setting aside this time. So how does it look? It's a priority. It's done personally. It's done consistently. And it's done intentionally. Because the point is that to build your relationship with God, you need to spend time with him daily. So one of the things that we're going to do with this series, and I will say, you can sit there, that's fine. We're going to have these building blocks, and I have one right here. We've got these, it's got a little wet on it, these cardboard building blocks that are here in the building, and we're going to get them to the Prime Group leaders so that if we end up going to a live stream only in the future and you're meeting with your Prime Groups, you can get one. But there's different blocks there. There's some back here for the families that are here. And what I'd like you to do is we're kind of, one of the things that people have said, like, in just in general, whether it's MC3, whether it's any church I've been a part of, like, I just wish my church would be more like that. I wish my church could grow more. I wish our church could be better than what it is. And I'm going to say a very hard truth to you, to all of us. If you want your church to be better, whatever that is, it's your fault. If you want your church to be better, it's my fault. It's like what makes us the church is us, the church. And so if we want to see MC3 grow, it's a matter of each of us growing, we being the individual growth. And as we grow individually, it's going to grow us as a church. And so I just kind of want to encourage you with that. And to take one of these blocks, what I'd like you to do, let me get it all right here. It starts with you. If we want to grow individually, we'll grow as a body. So I'd like you to take a block each week, or at least for this week. What we'll do is you take a block, go home and say, okay, I've decided to make spending time with God daily. Oh, it's not there. Spending time with God daily a priority. And if you can say half of the week, say 4 out of 7 days as a family, you're going to set aside time to make God a priority. Whether that's 5 minutes, that's fine. But 5 minutes for 4 days at least. And then what I'd like you to do is then write down time with God daily, this week's point, on the block. And then have everybody in your family sign your name. Or if your family really doesn't want to do all that, you can do it individually if it's just something you want to do. And then if you did that, write that point on the block, sign your name, and we're going to have a spot here along the wall in the building where we're going to start to build this wall. And we're going to see that as we grow individually, it's going to grow something much bigger than just what one little part is. Now, if you didn't, I don't want you just taking to have a stack of these blocks at home, so you can only exchange them. So if for some reason next week you're like, oh, I didn't get a chance to do that, that's fine. Hold on to your block. Maybe do this week's point, or maybe on one of the future ones you do it. But that way we don't have like 15 blocks at home in your house. Actually, it wouldn't be that, maybe 8, because we don't have that many blocks. But if everybody is completing one of these things, we'll build this wall, and we'll buy more blocks if we have to. So I hope that makes sense. So for you guys here, grab a block on your way out for your family. Like I said, we'll try to get into the Prime group so that you can have them in your groups. And then hopefully, prayerfully, at some point by the end of February, we're in the building so you can see it. And we'll be updating it on Instagram too. But that's what we want to do, because when we grow individually, we're going to grow together. And we're going to build these building blocks to become more like Jesus. I'm 5 minutes over. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. And thank you that that we can stay connected to you through Jesus. And I pray for each of us listening, watching, that that you would just, again, maybe this is a brand new concept, but for most of us, it's probably just a good reminder. And I pray that you would, in each of us, deep within our hearts, help us to make spending time with you a priority. May it be something that we do because we want to know you more, that we want to be more like Jesus, and we want to stay connected to you and you know, be able to receive the benefits of that, of growth, of joy, of producing fruit. So God, I just pray for each of us in this moment that we would say that, realize that this is a priority, and then we would walk away from here, committing to staying connected to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.